I'd like to welcome you guys to the Hunting Dog Public Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Knight. Here we will discuss competition hunts, pleasure hunts, and anything else dealing with the hunting dog. It is our sole purpose to bring awareness to preserve the sport of hunting with dogs. Without further ado, let's collar our dogs and send them on through the country. Today's word comes from Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Today on the Hunting Dog Public Podcast, we have Mr. Les Hart. Les, give us a little bit of background on how you got your start fooling with these dogs.
Yeah, probably, I don't know, I was probably 26, 27. I'm 59 now, so that's been a few years ago. I was a beagle dog man, mainly is what I was, but I had a buddy I worked with, Joe Morgan. He was a squirrel dog guy. He kept trying to get me to go with him. And we loaded up one morning, drove about 2 hours north to a place he said was full of squirrels. And he said he had a squirrel dog. Well, we went. I got out of the truck and started putting clothes and stuff on because I was a big time deer hunter at the time, bow hunter. And I knew in that type of weather, a man would get cold. And he said, what are you putting all them clothes on for? I said, I ain't going to get cold. Well, by the time we got through that hunt, half of my clothes was left in the woods.
You figured out real quick it wasn't nothing like going and sitting on a deer stand.
Well, the squirrel dog he had at the time was a street bred dog. Him and Terry White owned him, and we cut him loose, and he called him Shorty. Shorty shot in there and got treed. Joe took off like a scared doe deer running to him. He finally got to him and put him on the lead, and he turned around and looked at me, and he said, now I showed you how to do it, so you're doing it the rest of the day.
Oh.
So it didn't take me long to shed all them clothes.
I get that. I understand that.
So me and Joe actually started hunting a little bit together, and I kind of liked them squirrel dogs. So I kind of traded in the beagles, and at that time, I think it was $2,000, he bought a little female called Little Mountain Holly. And he gave Danny $2,000 for it, and he wanted to know if I wanted to go in halves with him. At that time, man, I had four kids. I couldn't afford no $1,000 for a dog.
Heck no.
He said, I'll buy it, and you hunt it. He said, we'll just be halves on it. So that's kind of where I got my starts with Joe Morgan, with that little old Holly dog. And she turned out to be a pretty nice little dog. All squirrel dog, quick on her feet, big nose.
Did you mostly pleasure hunt getting started off, or when did you go to your first competition?
Well, we got the little dog in January, and she was actually a January pup, so she was a year old. Not hard here when we got her. We got her like on the 2nd of January. She turned a year old January the 22nd, I believe, was her birthday. And in March spring hunt, Joe said, let's go to Jamestown. Let's take this little dog and get her familiarized with crowds and let her just hang out that way. And I said, well, okay. So we go down there, and about 30, 40 minutes in while we was there that morning, he come out and said, I got you signed up. You're ready to go. I said, what do you mean ready to go? He said, you're going to hunt this little dog in this hunt. He said, you might as well get your feet wet. So that's kind of my first competition right there.
Man, he didn't cut you no slack, did he?
No, it was, like I say, it was the March hunt. We drawed out that morning, took to school right good, got to learn a few lessons. And that afternoon, we drawed little Ray Smith and his dad.
I'll be dog.
I believe he was hunting that. I can't remember the dog he was hunting. But we actually won that cast that afternoon with her. So.
Really?
Yeah. And that's kind of where I got my start with the competition. We won the Kentucky State hunt with her that fall in the NKC, and then we won the Little World hunt 2 weeks later, I think, in London, had about 80 dogs in it. And then we had some misfortune at work, had an explosion, had to build a new building, and lost several people in the explosion. And when I didn't get a competition hunt the next 3 or 4 years, you know, so just kind of got back into it heavy the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I guess, maybe a little bit more than that. But
well, good. What did So you got, that's how you got your start. What did you, so when you got back in it, I know that, like you said, you got through some stuff at work, and then when you got back in it, what did you start out with, or did you go back to hunting that same little old dog, or did you was you really looking for something like something else?
Well, I really didn't know per se. I guess what a good dog was even at that point. I knew she was good, pretty good dog, you know, at that time. But I went back to hunting her son. But I was always one of those guys that's looking for the next best thing. Still do, I guess, to a point. But we had no guy at work. Like I say, he was in that explosion at work. But he taught me a great deal about these dogs. He always hunted a street bred dog, and he was born about 100 years too late.
He was really that kind of guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. And he took me under his wing, and me and him run together for probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, just pleasure hunting when we could. And he helped me work on my little holly dog. He taught me a lot about the dogs. Paul Newman was his name, and him and Joe Morgan was good buddies. But Joe got the pastor in church, and he quit hunting so much, and I just tagged along with Paul, so he taught me a lot about it. But during the meantime of that, Joe Spivey had J.S. Kentucky Ruger, which was my little holly dog's uncle, and I got acquainted with him through these dogs, and we tried to breed her a couple of times back to her uncle, and she was a good dog, but she couldn't reproduce worth a hoot. I don't care what you bred her to. The best cross we ever had out there was Franklin's Thunder Sport. Now, they produced some pretty good squirrel dogs. I kept one of them pups till it died. So, but that she wouldn't reproduce worth nothing. But I hunted dogs for Joe Spivey for several years after that, you know, trying to competition hunt and just OMCBA hunts in KC at that time. You know, there wasn't no USDC or NSD pretty much. So, but I hunted several dogs for Joe. Just tried different bloodlines, different, you know, if I'd have done what I'm trying to do now, get one and kind of stick with it and, you know, a younger dog. I got one that's 3-year-old, turned 3 in February with it. It's a pretty nice dog, but I probably got rid of more good dogs and didn't know what I was doing, you know.
Oh, man, I know the darn feeling, get rid of them and then somebody taking. Yeah, I know the exact feeling.
But just a little age and experience, and, you know, now I run with Dustin Richardson. He hunts the Rebel dog, and he's done very well with him, and got a young kid hanging with us at Trey Lawson. He's pretty getting into it pretty big. But my grandsons was running with me for a while, and of course they get the age and the women gets in the way and life gets in the way, so they don't run with me much anymore right now, but I suppose they'll come back at some point. But
well, I got a 14-year-old, and I'm feeling the wrath of that right now. You know, somebody that wanted to go and hunt and do this and do that, now I can't get him to go squirrel hunting. Lucky to get him to go coon hunting, and you know, he talks a big game. After about 9:30, he's like, "Daddy, let's go turkey hunting." I was like, "All right, we'll go in the morning." And then he's like, "Well, I don't want to go that early." I'm like, "Boy, get out of here."
Yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. But this, like I say, over the years, I've kind of learned that if you get something that you think's pretty good and stick with it and kind of keep working with it, they turn out to be, you know, if it's the right cross and the right bloodline. And I'm enjoying more than anything hanging with them two boys and running and teaching some of these younger guys what little bit I do know, which ain't much, you know, but we're having a big time with it anyway.
That's right. Y'all have we're going to get on Rebel here in a few minutes, but tell us about, you got back in it, and I guess you and I started talking a few years ago when you got a big old pretty hound that I like. Is that what kind of got you going to these bigger, you know, the bigger money hunts and the open stuff?
Yeah, and that's kind of where I lost train of thought. You know, years and years ago when I first started OMCBA hunting, and that's about it in NKC, I was taught by Paul Newman that a squirrel dog was 200 yard around you, tree just hard enough, bark just enough for you to find them. And when you get there, they're sitting back off the tree watching for that squirrel to timber. If it timbers, they're supposed to go with it. Well, as you get into the NSD type hunts and USDC, you know, we went from squirrel dog to tree monster, kind of back to, I'd say we've come full circle now, with the exception of the dogs are tenfold better, because everybody now is wanting dogs at tree game, but they got to have the stay put pair in the motor to go find them. So
I think you're exactly right. I think you know, you've mixed the you know, the dogs of old to the to and kind of molded and built some dogs that are, you know, that it, they will go get under a squirrel somewhere, you know, and, you know, they don't per se just make trees, you know, there's still those out there, but, you know, the dogs of today, in my opinion, I mean, just look at that USDC, the JPI. I mean, they plussed up 180 something squirrels, or no, 196 squirrels. That's exactly right. I mean, that dang, you know, that's nuts right there. Every dog there treed squirrels just about.
You go back to the Baseball, Mississippi hunt, if you go to the Owington ground floor hunt, I don't know that I've been anywhere that's got any more squirrels than Owington's got right now, because they was just for the ground floor 27 dog, we bust a lot of squirrels that hunt up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I like I say, me and Joe Spivey, we tried some crosses. He had an old dog called Mitchell, J.S. Kentucky Mitchell, was a full cur dog, but now he was nice. I mean, he was – but to compete with the dogs today, the kind of dog I was hunting back then, I just don't think they can do it, you know.
I agree. I just don't think.
Which goes back to some of the tree knocking Mike stuff, and he was about 70 pound in fighting shape, had a head on him like a boxer bulldog and jaws like a Great Dane, but he was registered as OMCBA, and we didn't do it. He may have been a full cur, I don't know, but he was a pretty nice dog, and that's kind of where I really got fired back up good. I'd hunted some NSD and stuff with different dogs for Joe Spivey and Buddy Langford out of Texas. I don't know if you know Buddy or not. But
what was that dog's name? What'd you say he was?
Lugnut.
Lugnut, that's right. That's right. He is that's the one that I seen when you I seen y'all at the who was hunting him at the 2020 World?
Probably me, I guess.
Maybe it was you.
Okay, World.
Yeah, this was the NSD World.
That was probably my grandson.
That's exactly who I thought it was.
Yeah, and we took him when Dustin owned him. Dustin had him also, but I was hunting for Dustin. Just that's how Dustin and I really got running together. Was we finished third in the OMCBA World. He put on a squirrel tree and clinic until the last round. He ran out of gas.
That's right. Well, didn't he? Is that not the dog that? He drew. It was him and Woody or somebody and the truck hunt, wasn't it?
Him, my grandson Drew got to the finals against XL and Michael Perkins.
XL, that's right. And
I'm not sure, like a little world. I don't remember what it was now.
I think it was the truck hunt or something, wasn't it? The USDC truck hunt or something?
Truck hunt. It was one of those. I don't know if it's the. They had like a blue ribbon on Friday, and then they had some kind of bigger hunt on Saturday and Sunday. My grandson hunted in that blue ribbon on Friday. Mm-hmm. I believe so. I didn't get a go. I had to work. He went with Dustin.
That's right. I remember that's the first time that I seen him, because he was a big old – I mean, he was just a pretty joker to me. He was just a good-looking cur dog to me.
And a good squirrel dog and probably smarter dog as I flew with in a long time, but he's as good a squirrel dog as you could ask for. I mean, we had a lot of fun, killed a lot of squirrels, that dude. But he got several of these boys involved in this squirrel hunting business, that dog did.
Where is he at now? You still got him?
No, we had to put him down. He got cancer. So we put him down about, I don't know, last summer sometime, back late summer or something.
Yeah, I know the feeling. That's what happened to mine. But so what happened? So after Lugnut, after y'all had y'all's run with him, then you went and got what?
Well, I got the bit, though, when I really got fired up in it, it was with the copper dog, that big English-looking hound, you know.
Bone Crusher and wasn't he Lucy?
Lucy.
Yep.
Yeah. So again, Joe Morgan, we worked together, and he, like I say, he pastored church, and he heard us talk about these hunts so much. But he's like the rest of us; he's getting some age on him. He at that time he's about as wide as he was tall, and he wanted to try it, you know. So we got that dog off of Tyler Asbury, I believe, out of Arkansas.
That's right.
And Joe actually bought him from my grandson Hagen to handle, and I was going to continue handling whatever I had at the time, and I can't remember, but it wasn't much, whatever it was. But my grandson then, of course, got to he finished Lugnut up that year, and before the next season started, he was involved in the chasing the ladies and other things. So I just kept hunting old Copper myself, and I realized that dog was way too much for him because he wasn't nothing stirring. That joker get plumb out of pocket, and that was his fault, you know. I've had him treated over a mile and a half. That's what happened to me at the NSD world. He got out of pocket on us up there. So I pushed Copper, I guess, 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, got in the finals of the truck hunt. I think won the NSD or USDC Ohio State hunt with him, and made a pretty good little run with him. He's a pretty nice dog.
Y'all still got him, don't you?
No, I sold him to David Price back last spring, right after comp season ended last year. So David Price out of he's right on the North Carolina Virginia line down there somewhere. Pretty good guy. Him off the well, but he's pushed him hard this year as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I knew I'd seen him, but I always liked that big joker. He's just I'm an old school English dog guy, and he always looked the part. And I mean, he was a squirrel trier too. So,
well, there was a point in time that I was strictly an OMCBA guy, and like I say, Paul Newman was that way. The guy that kind of taught me a whole lot about what I know. I've had several of the guys, the Kurt Lawsons and Joe Spivey's and Buddy Langford's. I'm one of those guys that never had really anybody as a kid going to take me hunting or do anything like that. So I always paid attention to I am the older guy now, but I paid attention to the older guys then. And as time went on, I took what I thought was good from each one of them and tried to apply it, and still learning, you know. Dustin, he went to school with my two oldest girls, and that knucklehead, I learned stuff about these dogs from him all the time, you know, how to do and what not to do. But that's how I kind of did over the years. Just I'd hang with whoever, you know, I thought I could get something out of as far as how to train these dogs, because I love it. Ain't nothing like, I'd rather take something that nobody likes and try to do something with it as I had. You know, I can't afford these high-priced dogs. I got to try to make my own.
I understand that. I definitely understand that. So after Copper, you sold him. What'd you get after that?
I've got what I'm hunting right now. He's at a big gym and a Walker female. They called Locked and Lethal Jesse that Doug Bryant made the cross to get this. And he come from Jeff's Island. Jeff has got him from somewhere. And Jeff and I talked about him a few times, and then conversation come up that if I wanted to give him a try, he'd send him my way. So I've been hunting him all season. That's what I've been hunting, and he keeps getting better and better all the time. But he's kind of like his daddy, big. He kind of half crazy sometimes, I think. But he's making a pretty fair dog, you know. I think this fall will be his year coming on. He'll be 3.5 come fall, and usually about 4 when I think they start in the prime, really start showing, you know. But
what do you call him?
Creed.
Creed. That's right.
Yep. Big black joker.
Mm-hmm. He is, you said about half crazy, like Big Jim. You know, that sapsucker was a squirrel treeing machine, and can. I bet you, because who's got him now, Dean Wright?
Yes, sir.
He's breeding him too, and I think he's making some nice puppies too. I wouldn't mind to have something bred too. I'd like to breed that, if he wasn't so darn far, I'd like to breed my, at Jip, I got out that was litter mate to that woodpecker dog you had that time, or y'all had. I'd like to breed her to him at some point. But, that dude, when Steve Osmus had him, he come down here to a hunt, and I think it was a Mississippi State hunt, NSD or something. And that sapsucker, I think he treed squirrels the first round. And then, like, that midday round, you know, they just got denned up or whatever, and I believe that son found him 4 miles from there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, this knucklehead here won't do that. I mean, he will at times get a little deep, but, I listen to a lot of these guys and try to pick up things. But when I first got him here, he was a backpacker and still your tree type dog, and I've worked on him so hard, he hates to even think about being around another dog right now. And that may have hurt him a little bit. I may have went too far on it. But like in that, I think we was in North Carolina. Where was we at? No, I don't know. I don't remember. But I drove Spring that morning and Harley. I believe it was. And they treed the first time within 70 yards of each other. Of course, Spring was sitting under the squirrel. Me and Harley wasn't, but we cut again, and they kind of blowed in there, and him and Spring kind of treed together, and I thought, well, I'm in trouble now. So when I cut the next time, he was 6/10 of a mile. That was at the JPI, because I knew if something stayed close to him, or if they'd run up on another hot squirrel, he was fixing to check out. And that's kind of his thing right now. He don't want to be around another dog at all. He can tree squirrels as good as any of them, but it seems like in these competition hunts, we won a little old blue ribbon qualifier at Russell Springs, got to the top six in the truck hunt with him, and then this past weekend I went to a little NSD hunt with down at Tennessee to Tim Tipton's. They had 15 dogs, which them guys always put on a good hunt, you know.
Boy, do they ever. They put on a good show. I'm going to get Tim on here before long, let him talk his dogs and his, you know, his game calls and stuff. But that joker, he puts on a good hunt.
That Tim Tipton club, and then Josh and Audrey Perkins, I always like going up and hunting with them. But I've chased these USDC so hard, I haven't been to any NSD at all. But Trey, the kid that runs with us, he'd got him a new dog, and he's wanting to go to put him in a competition hunt before he took him to try to qualify him for the world this week. And his dad didn't want to let him go by himself. He didn't want his dad to go. They was a bickering. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go with you. So his dad said, will you go? I said, yeah, I'm going. I'll go with him. So we went down there this weekend, and it got to be 78 degrees, and me and Creed got in the finals. We was tied at the end of the regulation of the finals. I said, boy, my dog's burned up. Yours is 2 flip a quarter. I'm done. So we finished that one on a coin toss.
That's right. I get it.
Three rounds in that heat was just horrible.
Shoot, man, it's getting warm now for sure. What did, so I remember, let's see, what did you, you've been running them USDCs, but you, what was I fixing? I was fixing to ask you something about that darn, I don't remember. Anyway, so Creed, that's the pony you riding right now.
Yeah, I call him Apollo Creed.
Right. Well, I guess it fits. You know, he's a, you know, Jeff Island, he ain't gonna have nothing, no junk, no way. So I figured you could about can get something from him. You got a pretty nice dog, or nice chance at a dog anyway.
Yeah, like I say, Jeff and I talk quite a bit, you know, maybe just text message, whatever. And I consider us to be pretty good friends, and he just kind of hooked me up with him, you know. So that's I'm riding him right now. We'll see how it ends up. But that joker, like I say, he can tree a bunch of squirrels in a hurry. But at times, I don't know if it's the pressure of the dogs on the ground with him. And you know, like I say, I'd say I've listened to a lot of people and ask questions and sit back and talk. And as far as the dog world goes, kind of like Carl Smith was a old streak. He's about net for years. He was the, everybody said he built the OMCBA, right? But I'd say that Woody dog is probably as good a reproducer, or I should I say, has improved the squirrel dog world as much as anybody. Because at one time, when I was first getting back into it heavy, all I heard was Michael Perkins and that tree monster he was packing, that Woody dog, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there and drove the Woody dog, and I had a tree monster too at that time from down around Texas that Buddy Langford had. She could tree a few squirrels along, but now she was a tree dog. Well, shoot, I drove them, and I thought, we're fixing to have us a tree shootout here. Well, that joker went to treeing squirrels like it was nobody's business. I thought, well, somebody's done went and lied to me about this tree monster.
That's the same thing I heard, you know. I was always, you know, I won't lie, I wasn't against, you know, I was pretty much against hunting anything like that. And then, you know, when you get a chance to go see it and see puppies out of them, you're like, dang, this thing's treeing squirrels, and he's treeing them fast, and he's treeing a bunch of them, you know. And Michael, he's not, I mean, he ain't gonna blow his dog up or nothing like that, and, you know, none of them are. You know, I'm as good of friends as any with Josh and Aldra. They've we've gotten close. They come down to Mississippi and hunt with us some, and hunting with Pearl and, Birdie and those dogs. And I'm like, dang, man, these dogs, to be hound crosses and this and that, they really train squirrels. And, I was the same way about the woody dog at first, because I thought, if you wanted squirrels, you had to have a cur or feist. I mean, I'm just being honest. And the feist, nothing against them, because I've been with some good ones. The pig dog, Wade's diesel dog, Justin's guy's got a nice little old female out of some of that Mullen stuff. And, the curs, I like a bigger dog, but, the cur stuff, I wanted something that hunted like my nighttime dogs, but during the day. And I just found it with the stuff out of Woody, you know what I mean?
Well, it's a, like I say, used to, you just had to run. Joe Morgan, the first time I went, he run to that shorty dog, told me the rest of the day was my turn. Well, it's awful nice to know that you've got a dog that can tree squirrels, and you can sit back, eat a bologna sandwich if you want to before you go to them. You know, they're going to stay put, and that's kind of where we're at. Dogs that'll tree squirrels and stay put, you know, that's, we've come full circle. We just got a better breed of dog now, a better type dog, I should say. They've improved it a bunch. But what I was getting at is, I think it was a truck hunt. I made it to the top final six, I believe. Michael Perkins beat me out with a cat dog down there. And I'd made the comment, they both blew in there and got treed real quick, close to each other, and both had a squirrel. And I thought, Well, as the hunt went on, she was treeing squirrels and I was treeing dens. And I said, man, he's blowed up. So I made a comment about, he can tree squirrels, but when you drop him on the ground in competition, it don't seem like he can tree as many. Michael made a comment that, just keep hunting him. He said that sometimes that happens to these younger dogs that ain't been put in them situations a lot. You know, it'll come. But he's by himself. He's getting treed. He's staying put. And he's having some squirrels. So hopefully he'll just keep getting better, you know.
That's right. And Michael's as good of a dog man as it's ever been, too. He ain't no... he ain't like me for sure, that'll go and talk night to every single body at the hunt and at the world hunt. I'll talk, there'd be 78 dogs there. I'm talking to 75 of them. And he'll sit over there and just stay to himself. But, he's never been rude or mean and to me. And, he answers my phone calls or my text messages. So I've always liked Michael, and I look up to his program for sure, because he's got it figured out, especially winters,
But he's a pretty decent dog, man, evidently. I mean, coon hunting back years ago, I think he was winning some coon hunting, and now he's at one time Woody, that was before, I guess he's out of his prime now, but I'd be curious to see what, but if he was in his prime with some of these other dogs, he's in the top five or somewhere close, if he's still not in the top three of the all-time money winners. So he knows something,
Oh, shoot, yeah. And again, like I said, Woody at five, I mean, I'm never going to say that Woody's better than Jade, because you just look at what she's done. But I will say that his numbers, I feel like, would be, obviously he'd have more money, because I don't think that those hunts, when he was in his prime, they wasn't as big. You know what I mean? There wasn't that much money to be won, I don't think.
You got to look at it in all aspects.
That's right.
Telling you. The Jade dog, the Rebel dog, the Spring dog, and the Knockout, the Cat, they the cream of the crop, buddy. I'm telling you, they're bad news. I love to draw them because I like to watch them go, but I hate to draw them because I know I'm probably fixing to get the socks beat off of me.
Well, this year, at the beginning of the year, we'll touch on, we'll go to Rebel now, because that's kind of, I like him and stuff like that, but we at the beginning of the year, I mean, he was on a roll, son. I think he won the first couple hunts or something in the finals at the first three or four. I don't remember how it went, but let's talk about him a little bit.
Well, like I say, Dustin, that's all Dustin. I mean, we're under the same kennel, and we run to every hunt together. If you see one of us, you're going to see both of us most of the time. And like I say, he went to school with my two oldest girls, and over the last several years, shoot, I look at him like he's my own son. He's a good boy. I like him. He works hard at it. But he got that Rebel dog, and I say I learned a little bit from everybody, but especially with this Creed dog, when he started really coming along, some of the stuff that Dustin does with his dogs to kind of get them ready to roll. And but the first real after he bought Rebel, I'd got invited to the JPI with Copper. And Copper come down with that Auricula and Limes, and I called Dustin, or actually I called Joey first to make sure that I could put a different dog in there and a different handler, because I didn't want to give that spot up because it was the invitation at the time. And I didn't, that was the only second time we'd ever gotten invited. The first time it was on the last minute deal with Lugnut. Somebody had backed out, I guess, and Greg called me, but I didn't want to give that spot up. So, of course, Joey said, it's your spot. Do what you want to with it. And I called Dustin. I said, hey, get Rebel ready. We're going to the JPI. And he said, no, Copper's in. I said, Copper's got tick disease, buddy. He's out. He said, you need to hunt him some. He said, so you can call him. I said, I ain't handling. You are. He said, no, I ain't. That's your spot. I said, well, you're handling. He said, well, the only way I'll do it, if we win anything, whatever we win, I split. And I said, no, it'll be your dog. But he wouldn't have it no other way. So we went to the JPI, and I'll tell it a little bit on him now, because it's done and over with, and he's learned a lot over the last few years too. But got to the finals, and really the last, and Joey's sitting over there listening to it too, you know, and he's, why didn't he call him? But Rebel was in there, and he wasn't real right. He wasn't actually right, but the way Rebel does is, you know, at that time he was going to settle. Before they ever got close to him, he would have settled. He was there. But Dustin said, I was playing the numbers in my head. Worst case scenario, if we went to overtime with second place, if I call him, we got first. So, but Dustin didn't make the call, went to overtime, got beat by Birdie in overtime. But I knew right then that he had something special with that Rebel dog.
Mm-hmm.
That sucker can perform. You know, he can, like I say, second at JPI, went to the King and Queen the same year and got second in it. This year started off with a dad burn bang. You know, you got to have some breaks along the way too, but you got to have a dog that's going to be there to get the breaks too. So, but that's probably the most consistent dog I've ever walked behind.
Tell us, well, I know, you know, like you said, that's all Dustin's, but what is he out of?
He's out of a Woody and a Screen Queen female, I think they call it. I believe she was maybe a Hummer female.
Yeah. I was thinking of another dog, a dog out of Woody, but it is Woody.
Him and cat dog at Michael Perkins has got on his lead right now. They're litter mates.
What's that tell you about? What's that say about that breeding program?
Oh yeah, man! I'm telling you, I'd love to have the Rebel on my lead. I'll just tell you, but now he's a pretty nice dog. Kind of good dog and a good man handling it. So that kind of goes hand in hand.
That's right.
He works. Dustin works at it. He works hard at it. So.
And y'all hunt a good bit together, huh?
If these hunts, we usually travel together, but around, like we hunted together a little yesterday morning. We don't hunt as much together like through the week. He works for himself and he's busy a lot of times, and I don't get out of work in time. We just go when we can, you know. If there's something we need to do, a little tuning here and there, we need another dog, we may get together and go. But he pretty much, I think, likes to hunt himself when he's getting ready, and I know I do. So,
well,
kind of, you got to build a little bond with these dogs sometimes. It ain't always just the tough love correction. There's some other stuff that needs to be done sometimes too, you know.
Oh, yeah, it needs to be. Man, I think it needs to be, you know, fun to them, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what's your plans for Apollo Creed coming up?
We're going to do the world hunt this week. I think we're leaving early Thursday morning to go up and help with the junior hunt. We'll be there through Sunday at the end of it, and then take a few week break is what I'm going to do, and then it'll be kind of back at it, you know, just hunting here and there a little bit, trying to keep him tuned up. I treadmill him a lot to try to keep him in shape, but just try to get ready for next fall. I usually July and August, I don't hunt much at all. And this time of year up to about July, I'll hunt a morning or last hour of daylight or something, you know, a little bit. But
So y'all headed to the USDC World. Yeah, I usually send me and Lindsay. We send. I like to send. You know, I like to do something for them kids. I send them all. You know, first three places. I send them Bibles every year, and you know, just kind of an extra gift to get when they you know, first through third. You know, some people. You know, I mean, It ain't much, but it is a lot if you.
What you're saying is probably the most important gift
Yeah,
they get anyway.
that's right. That's right. And that's the way we would look at it. It's something we can do for them. And well, shoot, man. You got anything else you want to touch on?
That junior hunt, I always look forward to it. My grandson, the younger one, he was up there 2 years ago and hunted it, which he just turned 10 or 11 now, and he's kind of wanting to go Sunday, but they're in Pigeon Forge this week. His sister plays softball for the high school. They left today. They're going to be down there all week, come back Friday. And then his younger brother's got a travel ball tournament on Saturday, and I just don't think he's going to be able to make it. But like I said, we raised four daughters, my wife and I did. Never did have no boys, and we started getting a few grandsons. But I think we got 15 grandkids, and a few of them younger boys are starting to take a little bit of interest in it. Brantley is, so hopefully by next year, but they play so much dang travel ball, they ain't got time for nothing else.
Man, I get it. That
They're
ball is tough.
yeah. Well, and it keeps them out of trouble, and they're pretty good at it. They're pretty good athletes too. So, but yeah, I probably park the dog here after this world hunt for a little while, and me and my bride will travel around, watch them play some ball a little bit and stuff, just to kind of support them a little bit too. I can't go to all of them. My wife tries to go to everything, but the way I work and food my dogs, I can't go to all of them. So I go when I can, hit and miss here and there. If I went to everything, I would never be home.
I know the feeling, brother. I know the feeling. We shoot, play basketball. We sporting clays, basketball, football. Man, and he just told me, he was like, "Well, I'm gonna, Daddy, I think I'm gonna play tennis next year." I'm like, "Good Lord, son, what are we? What else you go do?" But
Yeah, well, through these old dogs, over the years, like I say, I've been doing it. I'm 59. I've been doing it since I was 24, 25, whatever it is, with these tree dogs, and not always into the competition side. But like that kid, Trey Lawson, that runs with us now, he's getting into handling some. His uncle and I hunted together for about 12 years, and we buried him a couple of years ago. When we buried him, it seemed like Trey just jumped in the truck with us and they never got out, So I've made a lot of good acquaintances and a few good friends through these old dogs, and I just enjoy it. Yeah, I want to win, but I'm having a big time just following Dustin and Trey around,
That's
competing a little bit. Just hope them boys do good to keep them interested. So.
it. That's it. I'd like to get Dustin and get Trey on and let him talk about his experiences, being a young hunter. Maybe we can set something up and get them two on and
Well, Trey's 19 now, and he's like a typical teenager. He's hard-headed, and he's getting to think he knows it all, but that's part of it. And then, but he's a he come from good people. Like I say, I hunted with his uncle for 12 years. His brother, his dad, I know real well. His mom's a school teacher and had some of my kids in school. And he just comes from good, good people. And he's a good boy, good honest boy. But he's a typical teenager. He's a little hard-headed right now, but he'll figure it out.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, look, I got, like I said, I keep saying about pacing being 14 and being hard headed. He's
Oh,
good
it's
Lord.
going to be first too. Is he your oldest?
He's our only. Lindsay, my wife, had to have a hysterectomy after he was born, so he's our only. Yeah, I get it.
Grandmother used to say we pay for a raising three times four. Just get ready. Is yeah, I did. I mean, I was a. I guess you could say out of me and my older brother, I was the hellion of the bunch, and it kind of comes back to you a little bit sometimes,
Well, my mama told me that. She said, "Chris, you go get paid back. I'm telling you, you go get paid back for the way you treating me." And I'm like, "Mama, I ain't doing nothing, but good Lord, I see what she was talking about." Man.
It's coming, brother.
That's right. That's right. Well, shoot, man. I was go holler at you and try to knock this bad boy out. I appreciate you coming on and doing this with me.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you need anything else, brother, you know how to get in touch with me, and I appreciate you.
Good talking to you, man.
All right, brother, I'll holler back at you. See you.
Peace.